Tonight's class is Mitzvah of Timely Compensation. It is the second class on this topic. We spent about half a class last week talking about the connection between the mitzvos of Chesed and the mitzvos of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, between one person and his fellow. That was the transition that we made. And our first set of mitzvos relates to timely compensation. Paying your worker. Yes, go ahead.
I was wondering, when you distinguish between Chesed and Adam L'Chaveiro, are those quite different?
I think they're different. I believe that the mitzvos, I don't want to go into that detail because we have a lot to cover tonight, but Chesed and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro are different. I mean, obviously, in the sense that the mitzvos of kindness, of Hachnasas Kala, Halvayas Sameis, Bikur Cholim, Hachnasas Orchim, all the mitzvos relating to other people. They just like Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, they relate to other people. But they're definitely distinct in the sense that Chesed are opportunities to reach out and support other people in time of need, whereas Bein Adam L'Chaveiro are mitzvos that are kind of more regular routine mitzvos. And we also spoke, I don't want to go into detail, but last week we spoke about the connection of Kedusha that's attained through Bein Adam L'Chaveiro.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So something like Moshe Nara would be classified under
Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Exactly. It's very different than a mitzvah of Chesed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, for the benefit of those that were not here last week, and just to refresh our memories, we're going to do a quick review of the psukim, of the verses that we learned last week, maybe I'll ask for someone to read the psukim because we read them last week already. Does anybody want to volunteer? Anyone from the Hebrew class? Hebrew is good enough. Anyone's Hebrew brave enough to try to read the psukim? Let's see if my colleague Mrs. Eshel is doing a good job. Okay, I'll check up on her. Test your students. Okay, who's reading?
Oh, you don't have your glasses.
Are you going to read?
Yeah, I do. Okay, I'll read.
Mrs. Sidorovsky, you're going to have the second pasuk.
No, I'm not taking.
No.
Which pasuk do you want me to read?
Okay, why don't you start with the first one?
Okay, do not oppress. Do that.
Yeah, here. Don't read the English, obviously. Oh, the English, okay. I'm not going to test you on your English. Okay. I'll test you on your Hebrew.
Okay, lo tasok et re'acha, velo tigzor. Continue?
Yes, please.
Lo talin pe'ulat sachir itcha ad boker.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Standing ovation. Okay. Very good. So there are actually three statements in this pasuk. We mentioned this and we went into a little bit of detail last time. We tried to use some group discussion to analyze the psukim. We did all that last week. Lo tashok et re'acha v'lo tigzol. Do not oppress your fellow Jew, and do not rob him. Lo talin pulat sachir itchad boker. Do not withhold a worker's activity. His activity, which is coming to him, the work that he put in, basically his compensation, your payment for his activity with you until morning. Okay. So that's the first pasuk. In this pasuk, we pointed out, I'm just summarizing, in this pasuk we pointed out that there are three statements here, which seem sometimes unrelated, not oppressing your fellow, not robbing him, and not withholding his payment. They seem somewhat unrelated, but what we've arrived at in our discussion was that withholding payment is a form of stealing. You see, you would have thought, we looked last week, you would have thought that only walking up to someone and taking what belongs to them would be stealing. So the pasuk teaches us that to expand our definition of stealing, of robbing, that even when you withhold something that belongs to someone else, someone is a rightful owner of something, and you withhold that, then you are robbing them as well. That's also called lo tigzol. So here by the Torah putting in the words velo tigzol and do not rob, the Torah then defines it, further defines it by withholding the funds. So actually we'll see that, we'll see in a moment that when you withhold someone's funds, you don't only violate the law of not paying on time, you violate another law, which is not to rob a person. You're actually robbing a person. You're a robber when you withhold funds that are coming to a person.
How about if you don't have the money and you tell the person?
So tonight we're going to answer those questions.
Okay.
Tonight we're going to answer those questions.
Last week.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get to all those laws tonight. So that's an excellent question. If you don't have the money, and so on. Okay, that's very good. We're going to get to those issues. Okay. So that is the first verse. Without getting into great detail, that's the main thing that we need to get from the first verse. Now we're going on to the second pasuk. Does anyone else want to read the second pasuk? Anyone volunteer? Read the second pasuk.
Tamar.
Okay, we'll have a husband and wife team. Dr. Hartman, go ahead. You're reading the second pasuk.
Lo sashok sachir ani v'yavir me'achecha.
Okay, so let's translate that. Do not oppress a hired worker. Lo ta'ashok sachir. Same language as in the first pasuk. You notice? Lo ta'ashok et re'acha. Do not oppress your... In the first pasuk we have do not oppress your fellow. And in this pasuk we have do not oppress a hired worker who's poor, impoverished, from your brethren. And here the Torah adds another aspect. Someone who is, literally it says, a convert, a ger, who's in your land, in your gates. Now the Talmud explains that this does not refer to a convert who converted to Judaism. This refers to a Gentile who's adopted the seven Noahide laws and agrees to live in the land of Israel under Torah law by keeping the seven Noahide laws. So it's not talking about someone who's a convert to the faith. We're talking about someone who's actually not Jewish, but it keeps the seven Noahide laws. So the Torah here, we mentioned this last week, and I'm just skimming through it. The Torah actually expands the definition in Sefer Devarim. We find many times... Again, just a quick review of what we said last week. We find many times that there is one directive, one mitzvah in the first four books of the Torah. And then when it's repeated, seemingly repeated in the last book of the Torah, Devarim, over there, the mitzvah is somehow adjusted or expanded. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu on his own added to the mitzvah. What it means is that the mitzvah is being taught with an expanded version. It doesn't mean that he added on his own. All the mitzvahs were given to Moshe at Sinai. Just that over here, Moshe is teaching a broader definition of the mitzvah to the people. And I don't want to go into detail because I'm not really able to properly explain why that there's that expansion. I'm not cognizant of that. It's up for us all to still learn. About that. If anyone knows anything about that, please share. But at this point, I don't want to speak about that per se, but over here we see the mitzvah is expanded. So originally the Torah spoke about not oppressing your fellow Jew, right? Or withholding a wage of a worker, seemingly a Jewish worker. Now the Torah expands it to include a Gentile worker who has adopted the seven Noahide laws. Okay. And here, the Torah, this verse, I'm sure you'll agree with me, is trying to tug at our heart, to build empathy for the worker. He may be poor, he may be destitute. We'll see at the end of the verse right now. Okay, let's move on in the pasuk. Dr. Armin, you want to continue?
B'yomo titen secharo, v'lo tavo alon tashemesh.
Okay, so biyomo titen scharo, on his day, pay him his wage, on his day. Don't allow the sun to set upon him, because he's poor. And to it, to this wage, he pours out his heart, noseh et nafsho. He leaves out his heart, the Talmud expands that that the guy might have risked his life to work for you. Maybe he climbed a tall tree to pick some fruits, and he risked his life. You know, he climbed up a ladder, he risked his life to, you know, and he was at heights he could have fallen. But he did it because he's poor, he needs the money, he'll put his life sometimes even at risk. Or, let's expand it just a bit more, his family at risk, his position at risk, his situation is at risk, he's vulnerable, people are vulnerable in all kinds of ways, and when the worker is working for you, we have to take that into account. Okay, and then the pasuk ends, V'lo yikra alecha el Hashem, v'haya b'cha chet. Let him not, be very careful, let him not call out about you to Hashem, and there will be a sin within you. Imagine this, we gave an example last time, what the pasuk is talking about, a poor worker, he's going home, he didn't get his money like he was promised, he crawls into bed, doesn't have food to buy, you know, he's hungry, he screams out in his heart, or vocally to Hashem, Hashem will count that against you very severely. That's what the pasuk is saying. He's trying to build our empathy. Okay, so I encourage you, take a look on the other side of the sheet. You have a photocopy, and here it is, you have a photocopy of the commentary of Rabbi Samson Rafal Hirsch. And I just want to refer to I have a few things underlined here, but refer to one paragraph in particular. Please look at the fourth paragraph on page 609. You see that it's on the left column, fourth paragraph. The Gemara says further, and I'll read it in the Hebrew, Zehu Oshek Zehu Gezel. Oshek, oppression. You see where I'm reading over here? I'm on the second paragraph, I'm on the fourth paragraph on the second column. Okay, Zehu Oshek Zehu Gezel. This is oppression, this is thievery. V'lama chilkan hakatuv. Why does the Torah say, don't oppress your fellow, don't steal? In this case, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about, he just finished saying in the previous paragraph, that it's the same topic. The theft over here is not talking about robbery, when you're going to snatch something from someone. We're talking about withholding a wage. That's oppression. That's oppressing another person. So why does the Torah say, don't oppress and don't steal? Why does it use the double language? So the Gemara answers, the Talmud answers, La'avor alav b'shnei lavin. The Torah wanted to be stricter by telling us that there are two transgressions that you pass over. You violate two transgressions. Not only stealing, but also withholding the wage. You transgress two violations. They both mean, right, they're identical. Lo tashok and lo tigzol are identical. They both mean to forcibly deprive someone of that which by right belongs to him. Scripture separates them to make the offender liable for transgressing two prohibitions. Okay, then let's just skip to the underlined part. Thus, not only he who forcibly takes away, but anyone who deprives another of his due should be considered in our sight as though guilty of actual robbery. Okay. And then there is another prohibition regarding wages of an employee. Lo talit gulat sachir tchad boker. The Torah is coming clearly to open our minds, broaden our horizons, make us understand that we need to look beyond ourselves and try to empathize with the needs of the employee. And therefore, pay them on time. Okay? Okay, I'm going to just type it over here. Okay, let's go back to the verses for a moment, please. And let's count up how many times the Torah says, do not do this, do not do that. How many statements of prohibition do we have? How many violations? What would one transgress? Let's say I have an employee, and I would withhold the funds. I have the funds available, and I refuse to pay them. What is my, so to say, my maximum violation? How many times does the Torah say, do not do this, do not do that? Six. How many directives am I violating?
Six. Six or seven.
Six or seven. Okay. And how many times does the Torah tell us, do this? You should actively go and pay the person. How many times does the Torah say that?
One. It says that the Yomoti Tinsara, in its day you should give the and his wages.
Okay. So that the Talmud collects and says that there are five violations. Let's count. The first one begins in the first pasuk, Lo tashok et re'acha, do not oppress your fellow. That's one. Number two, Lo tigzol. Two. Lo talim pulat zachir itchad boker. Three. Okay. Then next, we have again, Lo tashok zachir. Well, that was already accounted for when we said in the first verse, Lo tashok et re'acha, do not oppress. Oppression is actually mentioned twice. Once in Vayikra, once in Devarim. So we're not going to count that twice. It's the same statement. It's just repeated. Okay. Lo tavo alav hashemesh, do not let the sun set upon him. That's four. And then we have biyomo titein secharo, which is a positive mitzvah.
He should not come to this, to screen. Six, one. Five altogether.
Right. Correct. So we have the Talmud says, Lo tigzol, lo tashok reacha, lo tigzol, lo tashok sachirani. It counts the repetition in Devarim. Lo talin pulat sachir, lo tavo alav hashemesh. So five times the Torah basically says don't, and once the Torah says do. Be omoti tein sacharo, pay him on time. Okay, if you were the Torah, if you were Hashem, and you were writing the Torah, how many times would you tell the let's say you want to repeat yourself. As parents, we repeat ourselves. What would you want to say? How many times, let's say you're going to repeat yourself, what would you repeat? What would you repeat? What would you repeat? Would you repeat?
Make sure you pay him. Make sure he's paid.
Exactly. Absolutely. I think we would agree that the positive should be reinforced. Right? When you write a school handbook, you want to make sure the rules are not don't chew gum, don't scream out in class, don't wear lab color, you know, like don't. You want to say, a student in this school will promote social justice, and, you know, you start talking about, you know, the positive and reinforcing the positive, right? The Torah wants to do the same thing, yet the Torah here has more lavim, more prohibitions than the negatives. Which is really actually in the Torah, we know we have more mitzvot lo taseh than aseh. The message is, going back to one of the first classes we had, which is that a person needs to remove obstacles from their way first to become perfected. Remove the obstacles. There's so many things that are going to restrain us back. We're going to have so many rationalizations not to pay the person on time. The Torah has to say, don't let the sun rise, don't let the sun set on him, don't keep the wage, don't let him call out to Hashem. The Torah is very critical of the position that we would naturally take. To tell us to pay, the Torah doesn't have to repeat that. Because in this case, what's stopping us from being perfected and acting with perfection is our stinginess, our self-centeredness. So the Torah is trying to break that down. I say, don't do that. I know what you're thinking. You're waiting until the next day. Don't do that. That because a person has so many rationalizations when it comes to monetary issues that the Torah has to first be critical of the collective. Okay. Now let's get into it. Here we go. There's a contradiction in the verse. Find the contradiction between the first verse and the second verse. There's a flat out contradiction between
the one
that's in Vayikra versus the one that's in Devarim. Play the two one against the other. There's a contradiction between the two. What is the contradiction?
Well, the first one says don't. withhold the wages until the morning. The second one says don't let the sun set. Isn't that different?
Right. Let's say the guy worked till 12 p.m. Now the sun's going to set. So when do I need to pay him? Do I need to pay him by sunset? Let's say, for example, 5 p.m. Or do I have until the next morning, which is, let's say, 6 a.m.? I mean, that's a big difference. I mean, if I need to pay him by 5 p.m., I'm in a rush. I mean, I'm at work. I don't have time to, you know, I'm busy. I don't have time to fit into my day. Oh, I could pay him tomorrow morning. No problem. I'll pay him by the morning. Maybe I can get to his house late at night. I'll drop it in his mailbox, you know? So what is the Torah saying? Does the Torah want us to pay before sunset or by dawn?
I think he should be paid as soon as he finishes his job. So
okay.
He can be on the
book. Okay. Okay. That is a very fair position for the employee. But what about the employer? Is that fair for us to... Let me finish what I want to say.
Oh.
Is it fair for us to press the employer and obligate the employer to pay the employee as soon as the job is done? Is that fair? Let's think about the rights, so to say, the rights or the dignity of the employer as well. It's not fair to say that you're right, the employee worked hard, he works for the money, so as soon as he's done, he should be paid. That's true, but do we want to also be just and fair to the employer? Why should the employer dance around, you know, the employee? It's true, he hired the employee, but should he have to pay him the second he's done? If he doesn't, he'll get punished by God for delaying the payment. That's too strict. Let's be reasonable. So we have to take into account the employer as well as the employee. Why only the employee?
I don't think too many people know that.
What?
If I don't pay him today, I'll pay you tomorrow. Bye, and that's it.
Okay, well, we're learning about it. That's
yeah.
why we're learning about it.
Yeah, now
that's why we're learning
will.
About it. Now we're learning about it. But the Torah will take into account the empathy of the employee for sure, but also the employer. From the fact that the Torah allows you a time period, a grace period, until evening or until morning, that means the Torah is taking into account the employer as well. It would be unfair to only take into account one of their positions. So we have to be fair to everyone. The person should be paid on time, but not with unusual restraints on the employer.
So it seems like, for me, there is no contradiction. It seems like you need to pay him before sunset.
But what about you should not keep the money till the morning?
So they say, do not withhold the wage of the higher order with you until morning. So we know that we shouldn't pay him, we shouldn't withhold the wage until the morning, right?
Yes.
And then they say, do not, so that means that, you know, the morning is the worst case scenario.
What about night?
Right. And then the sunset, right, is give more precision. So that.
What about, let's say I want to pay him at 10 p.m.?
According to that, if you add the two rules, that I would say no. I mean, if,
right.
Or in summertime. Maybe.
What's the deadline? Sunset or sunrise?
Sunset.
But it also says I don't have to keep it till the morning. It means that if I want to pay him midnight or 10 p.m., whatever, I could also pay him at midnight.
Wow.
That's the contradiction.
Sunrise.
That's a contradiction. Do you not see a contradiction?
For me, if you have these two, you know what to do, right?
What do you mean? So when do I pay?
Sunset. So
but it says I can pay him until... I shouldn't have it... I shouldn't delay until the morning.
Why mention the morning? If the deadline is sunset, why mention the morning at all?
Maybe he doesn't finish
till after. There must be some reason.
Oh, yes. Must be. Okay, so must be. We're talking about two different people. So we're going to give three case scenarios. Okay, just jumping to the scenario. Three case scenarios. There's a day worker, there's a night worker, and there's an hourly worker. Okay. A day worker is someone who starts working during the day and finishes at sunset. A night worker is someone who works during the night. He started sometime during the night and finishes at sunrise or at dawn. Okay, I'm not going to get into right now dawn or sunrise. In the morning. Okay, finishes in the morning. Let's say, for the matter of speaking, let's say right now, let's say sunrise. Okay, just to keep it simple. So a day worker is working during the day, sometime during the day, right up until sunrise. He finishes at sunrise. 5 o'clock is sunrise, sunset. He looks at his clock at 5 o'clock, time to go home. Sunset. Then he goes home. When do you have to pay him? When do you have to pay him? When should you pay him? Before he leaves?
Before he goes home, before sunset.
That's no time for the employer. Let's be fair on the employer. Just because he finished at 5, so at 5:01 I need to pay him.
Okay,
the next morning. So someone who's a day worker, who finish, day worker means you start during the day and you finish at sunset, you have the night time to collect funds to pay him by the morning. By the time the sun rises in the morning, if the sun rises and you did not pay him, no pumpkins. But if the sun rises and you did not pay him, then you violated the Torah law of withholding payment. Okay? Now if you're a night worker, you start sometime during the evening and you start sometime during the night and you finish at sunrise, then you have the entire daytime to collect funds and pay the person until the night. But what happens, most workers don't work, you know, up until the, you know, on the nose, you know. They don't work, you know, until the last minute of the morning. You know, most workers, let's say they finish in the middle of the day, 3 p.m., the job's done. So when should you have to pay that person? He's an hourly worker. The halacha is, you have to pay him, let's say he finishes at 3 p.m., you must pay him by sunset. If he finishes at 9 p.m., you must pay him by sunrise. You don't have an extra period beyond where he finishes. You have to pay him at the end of that period. So we have three types of workers. Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Now, if you tell him, okay, you come in the morning, I'll be paying you. And he says yes. But if he doesn't come...
You know what, let's talk about specific cases in a moment. Let's just give the framework.
Because that happened to me.
Okay, I know. You always ask me good questions that happen to you. So we're going to come to that. Let's go to specific cases in a moment. Let's just work out the details. So we have a day worker. You see from the verses, it has to be. There's a day worker, there's a night worker, and we have to say that if you finish sometime during the day, then it's reasonable that the Torah would say you pay at sunset. And if you finish sometime during the night, okay, it's okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Even if it's like somebody who works during daytime, who finish like 1 hour before the sun set, you have to pay him by sunset.
Even 5 minutes before the sun sets. Okay. Yes. Because since he's an hour worker, so he's not considered like a full unit. He's paid, he's working for a short period of time. So it's true, sometimes it'll be a minute before sunset, for example. So then you won't have so much time. It's not too fair on the employer. But on the other hand, you understand that he's going to finish the job soon. So you should be prepared, right?
But like during the summertime, he could work a long time during the day, like from 7 a.m. to
6
p.m.
Right.
And it's still going to be daytime, so it's a very long day.
Yes.
And it's not like he had... work like 2 or 3 hours.
That's true. This is, what would you recommend? What would you say should be a fair thing to do with an hourly worker? Should he be this?
I consider this case an hourly worker, like from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's not the same that somebody who works just 2 hours a day.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. Okay, because it's such a long time.
It's a day worker.
Yes. Yeah, but a day worker, it's my understanding right now, and it could be that I stand corrected, but my understanding right now is that that's not considered a day worker. A day worker means you're employed for the day. So as long as there's a day hour, as long as the daylight hours are still on, you are working. Meaning, I hired you for the daytime. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I hired you for the daytime, or I hired you for the nighttime. You're my night worker. As soon as the sun sets, you start working until sunrise. Okay. So, these are the three different types of workers that we have. Now, there's a lot of things for us to learn from the verses that are really, really basic and important. For example, what would you say about a situation? Listen to this situation. A guy is hired as an hourly worker. So he starts, shows up, you know, at 7:30 in the morning, whatever, the summer, winter. He works through. The job takes longer than he thought. Now, he worked into the night, and he worked an hour into the night. You know, you get a big plumbing job, the guy comes, he thinks he'll be done. He starts sometime in the afternoon, you know, he has to rip up the toilet and the floor and the tiling, he has to clean up. It's a $500 job, he has to buy a new toilet. The whole thing is a big mess. Finally, he gets out, your guests arrive in time, everything's clean. Right, okay. But it's a big, big job, right? He finishes at 9 p.m. He thought he'd be out of there in an hour. He had three jobs to go to, and now he's there until 9 p.m. Is he an hourly worker? Or is he a day worker?
Hourly.
When do you need to pay him? Do you need to pay him as soon as he's done?
Yes.
Or can you pay him in the morning?
Morning.
Or can you pay him the next evening? Because he finished, when did he finish? Let's see. He finished at 9 p.m. When do you have to pay him?
By sunrise.
Well, sunset he's still working.
By midnight.
No,
okay, that wasn't a choice. That's a nice thing to do.
Okay.
No, so the options either are sunrise or sunset. Those are the two options.
Sunrise.
I'm going to say the next thing, sunset.
Sunrise.
Sunrise. Okay. So yes, you have to pay him by sunrise.
Yeah.
Why? Because when did he work?
Till.
He didn't work on the whole night. He's not a night worker that he finished at sunrise. Uh-huh. He wasn't a night worker. He was a day worker who went into the... He was like an hourly worker who would have been paid by sunset if he finished early, but because he went further, you actually have a little bit more time because now he became also a day worker. He turned into like a day worker because he finished and actually went on beyond sunset. So you have until sunrise to pay him.
In the case in which he finished when he was supposed to, not supposed to, but he was an hourly worker, and let's say he finished at sunset that day. You pay him
If he finished at sunset,
you pay him,
or any time after that, you have until sunrise. But if you finished an hour or half an hour before, then sunset.
I see.
So even though you were prepared to pay him, you could actually withhold the funds now, because since he did more work. So there's a balance that, you know, kind of shifts over. Now he's really more of he was a day worker because he finished at sunset or later, and therefore you have until the morning to pay him.
And if he were a day worker and he just quit early for whatever reason, you'd still have till the next morning to pay him.
If he's
a day worker who quit early for whatever.
Okay,
reason.
I don't know the details of the quitting early. Cases. No. I mean, it's covered. I'm not prepared to talk about those halachos. But that's a different set of halachos. If the person quits in the middle of the job, what would be the halacha?
I see.
Okay, we learned something else. It says in the first pasuk, Lo talin, do not withhold peulat sachir, the wages of a worker, itcha, with you, ad boker, until morning. There's some extra words over here. Do not withhold the wages of a worker. Period. What does it mean? With you, itcha. Why does the Torah say itcha? With you. What does it mean with you? What do you think it means? With you. Do not withhold the wages with you.
It means you can take advantage of the money. It's not like if you keep it with you, you have an advantage to have it.
Because you have it with you, you have an advantage. The Torah is allowing you to use it, or the Torah?
No, it's forbidden because you have an advantage you shouldn't have.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Emma. What were you saying?
You have funds available, so there's no need to hold on to it.
Correct. Okay. So that's what the Torah is teaching us. The Torah is teaching us that when do you violate the prohibition? Only if it is itcha, with you. But if you don't have the funds, you don't have money to pay. The guy says, pay me. You say, I don't have the funds to pay you right now. You don't violate the prohibition of withholding payment. Now we have to talk about different cases. One second. Did you hire the guy knowing you didn't have the money?
Yeah.
You know, or did you run out of funds in the middle of something happened while he was working, then the money that you thought you had, you know, your spouse spent shopping, you know? Or, you know, what happened exactly midterm? But what we do know is that you will not violate the prohibition of withholding funds if you don't have the funds to pay. Now, you don't have the funds to pay. Do you have to go and borrow funds to pay? There's a mitzvah involved over here. If there's a mitzvah that comes your way, are you obligated to go and borrow money to do the mitzvah? Let's say, are you obligated? There's a lot of different kinds of cases. In this case, do you think you'd be obligated to go and borrow money, knock on your neighbor's door, let's say for $50. Let's say you have to owe the guy $50 for his work. You don't have the money now. You don't have it available. Maybe it's somewhere in a bank account that you can't get to right now because you don't have a car to get to the bank. Whatever it is, I don't know. You can't get to the money. Are you obligated to borrow money to pay the worker?
Yes. I'd say yes.
I don't know.
Okay. So, if the money is not, the money has to be with you. So if it's not with you, you don't violate the prohibition. If it's easily accessible, let's say you have someone staying in your home who's a best friend, you know, friends for years, you know, and he's got $50 in his wallet, you know, you just say to him, you know, do you mind lending me $50? I'll pay you tomorrow. You know, and you can easily obtain the funds, then the funds are considered accessible, somehow accessible to you. Obviously, you have to ask the other person. If they're easily accessible, then you're obligated to borrow the money to pay the worker, because the obligation to the worker has greater weight. That's considered with you. You have the money with you. It's accessible. That's greater weight than, you know, having to inconvenience yourself to ask someone to borrow, you know, some money. But if the money is, it's difficult for you to borrow the money, or for sure, if you have to borrow the money with interest, then you're definitely not obligated to borrow the money. In all those cases, you're not obligated. But if it's easily accessible, you could ask a co-worker, a friend, a spouse, can you lend me the money? Then you would be obligated to borrow the money. So that's one other thing about itcha. Let's say, listen to this amazing halacha. Again, itcha. The worker knows that your lifestyle or your financial situation is such that you live day to day. You know, sometimes you have the funds, sometimes you don't have the funds. They know you have funds when you make a sale. They know you have funds on payday. Then that's when you have funds. But normally, you know, you're kind of not making ends meet. You know, you're trying, but you're not making ends meet. But you only have money once or twice a month on the big day, the payday, whatever it is. That's when you get paid. What do you say? Is that considered itcha with you? Let's say in the interim between the paydays, is that considered that you have the funds? Are you obligated? Would you violate Bal Talin? Would you all violate withholding funds?
Well, you don't have it.
You don't have it. If the worker understands he was working for someone who gets money only on paydays, for example, and the other times it's hit or miss, they might have the funds, they might not have the funds, and they agreed to work for you under those circumstances, so then you do not have to pay them. If they did not know that, you would be obligated to pay them on time.
So then you can disclose that at the beginning. Hmm? If they don't know, just to make sure.
You could say, listen, you know, I'm going to get paid in a week. I don't have the money now.
Exactly.
You know, well, yeah, that's, yeah. The truth is, in that particular case, if you notify someone in advance,
yeah,
and they say, you know, no problem, you don't owe me the money for a week. You know, you'll owe me, the date due is next week. You know, next month or next week, then for sure you don't violate Bal Talin, even if you have the funds. Even if you'll get the funds, you won't violate it.
Oh,
but in this case, that's a great idea. Tell them in advance. Sorry, Alex, what
was it? Yeah, this is a question, but is it a violation not to notify somebody if you don't have funds? Okay. If you know that you won't have funds when...
If you know for certain that you will not have funds to pay the worker when they're at the time period that they're when you're obligated to pay them, it is absolutely forbidden to hire the worker. You may not hire the worker. If you're in doubt if you'll have the money, you hope to have the money, you're allowed to hire the worker. But then you're putting yourself at risk, because then you might have to borrow money to pay the worker. But if you're certain, I'm not going to have the money to pay this guy, and you hire him anyways, then that's a violation. That you're in violation of withholding funds, because you put a person in a situation, you're exactly putting the person in a situation where he's vulnerable. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Maybe it's a particular case. About sunset and sunrise, if somebody works like till 15 minutes before sunset, can you say to him, let's say you work, I pay you 15 more minutes, like if you had worked till sunset, and I pay you tomorrow morning, instead of paying him at sunset?
Okay. So that is a great question. Another particular question. But it's a great question. What's happening over there is the following. When did you tell them this? Before you hired them or after you hired them? The answer is it doesn't make a difference, though. It doesn't make a difference. Even if you tell them after you hired them and they're willing to forego the timely payment, you won't violate Baal Talib. You won't violate withholding funds. Even if you won't pay them the next morning, you tell the person, you know, I know you did a great job. I really appreciate your service. You know what? I'm sorry, I don't have the funds. Do you mind if I pay you when I get the money available? I don't know when that'll be, but as soon as I have the money, I'll try to pay you. The person says, fine. You know, the person is willing to forego it. You know, they worked for a few hours and now they're not going to get paid. And they're willing to forego it. You don't violate Baal Talib. You don't violate withholding funds because the person agrees to it. Even if they're agreeing begrudgingly, they still agree to it. In your case, it's a better case, right? You're going to pay the person in the morning and you're compensating them fairly until the time is up. So that would for sure be okay. Yeah.
What if they don't agree?
Who doesn't agree?
Worker.
You're in trouble because you hired the worker, you don't have the funds, the money is due to them. If they're not willing to forego the timely compensation, then you'll be in violation if you don't pay them on time.
Even if I don't have money.
The only time that I don't have money work is a prohibition, is if you hire them knowing you won't have money. But if it turns out you actually don't have money, you planned on having money, but the funds are not available, you don't violate Baal Talib. But you're not going to get the mitzvah of paying a worker on time. There's a positive mitzvah also. You're not going to get the negative commandment of, you know, don't delay the payment, don't withhold the funds, because you don't have the funds. But you're not going to get the positive mitzvah of paying a worker on time. So you're forfeiting a mitzvah.
Okay. If your worker works for you on Friday, do you get an extension? You can pay him after Shabbos if he's a non-Jewish worker, say, or Jewish worker.
Okay, so a non-Jewish worker, you're not technically obligated by the Torah law to pay that worker on time, even though it would be honorable and commendable and appropriate to pay that person on time. You're not held by Torah law to that extent. This non-Jewish worker over here that we're talking about is a Gentile in the land of Israel, accepted the seven Noahide laws in front of a Beis Din.
Yeah, he's
non-Jewish. Okay. But I'm saying, let's say someone who did not accept upon themselves the seven Noahide laws in Israel, then there's no biblical obligation to pay them on time. You're not obligated by the Torah. But nevertheless, let's say it's Friday afternoon, if the person works right up to the last minute of Shabbat, so then they are really a day worker, and then you have the time until after Shabbat, because you cannot pay them on Shabbat. Now, you won't get the positive mitzvah of paying them on their day of work, because you're not paying them on the day of work. But you won't be in violation of not paying them late, because you're not withholding the funds due to your will, the Torah is instructing you not to be involved in business on Shabbat. But there's a famous story about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim lived in a small shtetl in Poland. We know he lived in Radin. And one Friday afternoon, the Chafetz Chaim was seen running through the street of Radin, which was like a little shtetl. And he was running through the streets of Radin, and people were astonished that the Chafetz Chaim was running through the streets. It was unheard of, obviously, that this great rabbi was running through the streets. And they found out that a worker worked at his house and left, and it was Friday afternoon, like a little bit before Shabbos, and they found out that a worker was working at his house and left. You know, he didn't want to disturb the Chafetz Chaim, so he left without being paid and went to get prepared for Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim ran after him, ran to his home, in order to pay him before sundown, in order to fulfill the obligation. So, if it's a little bit before Shabbos, you still are obligated to pay. It's a story about the Chafetz Chaim. Now, what would you say about the following? Thinking about, you know, equality. You have a number of workers. One worker is a well-to-do employee. You know, he doesn't need your $40, your $50, your $100, your $200, whatever you're going to pay this employee. But another worker is needy. He's a poor person. Should there be you get $200 available. You owe both of them $200. That's all the money you have. Should you give preferential treatment to the poor employee over the rich employee, so to say, the rich or well-to-do or established employee?
No.
Yeah.
From the verse.
Why? Poor, poor and destitute. Poor. Seems poor like it specifies the poor and destitute.
And we don't want him to cry to Hashem.
Right.
If he's really needy, he should have it.
Okay.
Yeah, so how would people spend, just talk to
you could, let's say you don't talk to them. That's true. If you always, if you talk and negotiate and the person's willing to forego something, that's fine. He's being a nice guy.
Pay attention to both of them.
But let's say both of them come knocking at your door and all you have is $200 and they're both saying, hey,
I don't
who do you choose?
I'll just pay 50-50.
Well, then you don't get anything then. Because you're not paying any of them the sufficient amount. You're not going to get anything.
Whoops. Should you make a deal with the rich guy?
Oh, so that's what Emma's saying. Maybe
that's
you want to negotiate. Tell him, listen, you know, take the guy's side, say, listen, this guy, you know, you can wait another day, another 2 days, you know, to get funds. You could do that. Okay. The halacha is, like you're pointing out, is that the verse gives, it makes us develop empathy toward the poor person. But listen to this question. You have two poor people. One guy is poor. Okay, you know, he lives day to day, not much money, you know, scrapes by. Another guy has nothing. Zero. He's destitute. Who do you prefer? The guy who scrapes by barely and is poor, the ani, or someone who is totally destitute. I mean, he's got not an ounce, not nothing to his name. You know, the shirt on his back, he's walking around the streets with paper bags, and he's looking for a job. And he was your worker. Who should you give preferential treatment to? How did you know?
He came first.
Huh?
He comes first.
Right. He comes first in the verse, which is astonishing. You guy, a guy who's destitute, totally destitute, and a guy who's only poor, right, a little bit better off than the destitute guy, you know, he at least has a bicycle to ride around on, he's not walking by foot, he's got something, he's got a little meal here, a little meal there, you pay him first. Why? Unbelievable. Exactly the opposite the way we would think. We would think, the guy's got nothing, give him first. No, you pay the other guy first. Why? The Talmud says. Because the guy who has nothing, he's like a beggar, he would ask you or anyone else for anything. He's so desperate that he's in a desperate situation, so destitute, he'll get by. But the guy who's poor he doesn't think that people view him socially destitute. People think that he's okay, you know, okay, listen, he's not wealthy. But whatever, he didn't know he was poor. But, you know, he gets by, you know. So he's embarrassed to ask. You need to make an evaluation of your two employees. If the employee is poor and he's embarrassed to ask, you pay him first. Because he will not approach you for the money or anyone else for the money. Because he's poor. So you pay him first, which is mind-boggling. I mean, that we take into account the emotional strain of the person when we compensate. That's an incredible, that's unbelievable. That's a beauty of this mitzvah.
Rabbi, but how could you know who is poor, who is more poor, who is less poor?
Okay, that's
true.
Who
has the bicycle?
I mean, you're right. I mean, we're not going to, but in the case when you do know, you're right. In many cases, you're not going to know. I mean, you know, you never know who's poor and you never know who's not. You know, the people that appear to be poor are not poor. And the people that don't appear to be poor are poor. That's the reality today, at least. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's something that we need to take into account. I need to run ahead to some other special cases. And with that, we're going to close for the evening. Okay? You give a guy a check. You write him a check. Well, a check's not money, but he could cash the check. So, is that payment? Well, you have the funds in the account, okay? It's not an insufficient funds check. You're not writing him a check, you know, that if he cashes it, it'll bounce right back. So, it's sufficient funds. First of all, is a check money? Is it money? Is it considered money?
Give it to him on time so he can cash it.
Yeah, you can go right now to the bank and cash it.
Exactly.
Is that payment?
Yes.
Okay. That is payment. Definitely in the United States, cash is payment. In some places, where checks are not used as, you know, regularly in the economy, then a check may not be payment. A check might be a deferral. Might say like, you know, well, you know, when you get to the bank, by then the money will be there, hopefully. You know, like the way the people don't check, they don't accept checks normally. Okay? We find even in our economy, many, many businesses won't accept a check. Right? So you see that there's a certain restriction to a check. Right? Well, it's sometimes because they don't know who you are, right? And so on. But a check may not always be viewed as cash. Definitely United States, North America, definitely it's viewed as cash. But what happens? The guy didn't go and cash it. Do you get your mitzvah paying the person on time or not? He did not go to cash it, but you gave him the check. If he wants, he can go to the bank and cash it.
And
you're okay. Okay, but you didn't get the funds on the day that he worked.
That was his issue.
Okay.
You can force him.
Right. So definitely the consensus is, it is amongst the poskim, the consensus is that as long as he has the ability to go to the bank, it's the money's with him, right? The only, some say the following. Some say if you want to really make sure that he gets paid on time and you get the mitzvah, give him like $5 cash. You know, pay him something cash. And the rest, make a check. That way you know he was paid on that day on time. He's willing to take a check. He can go to the bank, but this way you know he's paid on time with no problem. Another special case. We talked about what happens, but one more thing is if you pay, what happens if the business pays on an accounting cycle? You know, all the checks go out at the first of the month, you know. So you did a work for an individual or a business, and all his, that's how his accounting goes, on the 1st, on the 15th of the month. So if that's, that's understood by the worker at the time of employment, then you don't violate Baal-Talin. Okay, to finish off, three pieces of advice that the poskim say, the halachic decisors, they're telling us what to do in order to be prepared. Number one, ask the person for their price before you hire them. Because the halacha is that if a job is done, you hire a trades of someone who, you know, tailor, whatever, a barber, I'm just giving an example. You know, you hire someone who does a trade, and there's no fixed amount, there's no set amount, or you give someone, you know, whatever it is, whatever the trade is. Yeah? And then the person tells you at the end of the job, $1,000. $1,000? You know, well, that's how much my work costs. I'm an expert craftsman. That's my... No, you have to ask, well, how much does it cost? Or there's a fixed price. They have a price scale. But if you don't ask that, you're going to be held... You could be held according to Torah law to pay their price. You hired them without asking. So whatever they say would be fine. So first of all, set the price before. Number two, have money on hand available before you hire. You definitely never want to hire someone without the funds available. Number three, set up a payment schedule before. Because if the person is not willing to accept your negotiation afterward, you will violate Baal Talin. Okay? You will violate the withholding of funds. So you need to negotiate with the person before. Say, listen, you know, I'll have some of the funds available, you know, or can I pay you on the 15th and the 1st? You know, you work out a payment schedule with the person. That's when the money comes due. So you're overriding the official due date, which is by sunrise or sunset, by making an agreement to pay them by a certain date. They're accepting it by that date. Okay? In conclusion, we have to be aware of this mitzvah. It's such a routine thing that comes about. You hire, I don't know if it's, all these things are relevant, but you hire any tradesperson. You hire a babysitter. Absolutely. You hire a babysitter. If you don't have the funds available and you don't pay the person on time, again, you go out, I'm just going to example myself. I go out with my wife for dinner. Yeah, we go to the kitchen table, we come back, it's 10 o'clock, and I don't have money to pay the babysitter. Well, how much time do I have to pay her or him? How much time do I have to pay her? Until when?
Sunrise.
I better get the money.
Why? It was not
she worked.
Hour. Oh, it's hourly.
She didn't work until sunrise. Right, it's an hourly work. Hourly. I have until sunrise. Unless I hired and said, listen, you know, I don't really have the funds available now. You know, I'll send you a check or, you know, whatever it is. Even if she accepts my negotiation afterwards, I tell her, you know, I don't have the money. I come home, I look at my wallet. Oh, no, I don't have the money. Would you be willing to accept a payment some other time? Okay. You know, she's willing to go for it. No problem. So then, I don't violate Baal Talin, but I don't get the mitzvah of paying my worker on time. Okay? So, it's important to keep these things in mind, and every time we do pay a worker on time, which should be most frequent, whenever we do pay a worker on time, keep in mind you're doing a mitzvah. You know, you get into a cab, you pay the cab driver, you're paying a worker on time. Paying the worker on time. Don't just sort of say, throw the money to the cab, think, hey, I'm doing a mitzvah right now. I hired someone, I'm paying them on time. So it's the most relevant mitzvah.
Question.
And what now your question?
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. How about if you make the deal with the guy, says, come at certain hour, I will have the money for you, and he doesn't come.
Okay.
So is it on me or on him?
What do you guys say? What does everyone say?
It's on him. Well, you have the money, you're ready to give it to him, but if he doesn't show up, it's not your problem.
By the way, if the case was, well, what's the case? If the case was where the person said, I need to be, you know, you're supposed to pay him by a certain time, and then you told him after the job, you know what, come next week, I'll have the money for you.
No.
Then that's not appropriate. But if it was in the beginning of the job, and they said, no problem, I'll come by Tuesday, I'll pick up the money, I'll pick up the check, whatever it is, that would be fine if that's what they agreed to do. That's the due date. Whenever they show up, that's when they get paid. That's fine. It's like the person who has the check in their hand.
Okay.